Let's get deep and dirty into scenarios. Hello again. I'm Martin North, the Principal of Digital Finance Analytics. Today we're going to explore some of the future scenarios that we've been developing, drawing information from our core market models and thinking about how the finance and property market may play out over the next 2 or 3 years. Now, this is all, of course, a bit hypothetical, and perhaps none of the scenarios will come true. But I think it gives a really interesting set of perspectives in terms of some of the issues we may face. By way of background, it's worth reflecting on the fact that there are around 3.2 million households with owner-occupied mortgages, and there are additional 1.75 million investment mortgages, and some of those, of course, are held by people who also have owner-occupied mortgages. Another figure to bear in mind is the $1.7 trillion of mortgages outstanding. And based on our modelling, at the moment there are around 925,000 households across Australia who we judge to be in mortgage stress. In other words, they don't have enough income coming in to service all of their outgoings and to meet their mortgage repayments as they fall due. So we can now think about how things may play out. In my first scenario, which I've called pretty much business as usual, we've assumed that credit growth will continue to ease. Over the next 12 months, it'll be down between 5 and 8%. And we've assumed that home prices will slide on average between 5 and 10% across the country over the next 12 months. We also think that interest rates in this scenario will stay roughly where they are, because whilst interest rates overseas may be going up in this scenario, we're assuming that we'll be relatively insulated from those. And we're assuming that employment will continue to look pretty good and unemployment rates won't rise much higher than where they are currently. So in this scenario, what's likely to happen? Well, we think there are going to be more households who will continue to struggle to meet those mortgage repayments. And in this scenario, we think that the losses to the banks will go from around 2 basis points on the portfolio, which is extremely low, to about 4 basis points. Now, 4 basis points is relatively manageable. And so whilst the banks will find that their profitability will be somewhat clipped, we don't think this leads to a dramatic outturn. And it could well be, in this scenario, that interest rates are lowered a little because the RBA might take rates lower to try and provide some support, because their basic philosophy is still to use household consumption as the main growth engine for the economy. We don't think that'll work, by the way, and therefore we expect growth rates in this scenario to be roughly where they are now, certainly not really improving. And therefore, there will be some significant questions ahead as to the way that the deficit in Australia may run. In our second scenario, which we've called things can only get better, interest rates start to rise. They rise not because the Reserve Bank moves its rates, thanks to the fact that the Federal Reserve will be lifting rates in the US. Now, as rates rise in the US, that will flow through into Australia. And initially what we will see is the exchange rate here sliding down, which may improve the chances of exports, but will actually import inflation into Australia. As a result of that, the chances are that the Reserve Bank will need to respond by lifting rates a little. Now, those interest rate moves, either directly from the Reserve Bank or indirectly via the capital markets, will put upward pressure on mortgage rates. And in this scenario, we expect mortgage rates to rise between 50 and 100 basis points or 0.5% and 1% over the next 12 months. Now, that moves the number of households in financial difficulty from 925,000 to close to 1 million households. In this scenario, we expect credit growth to drop between 10 and 15% over the next 12 to 18 months, and we expect home prices to slide between 10 and 15% over the same period. But one of the critical questions will be the loss rates, because our modelling suggests that moving from around 2 basis points currently, we could see loss rates up in the 5 to 7 to 8 basis point range. Now, that would begin to have a significant impact on the banks and would have an impact on their ability to handle those losses in an orderly fashion. Whilst we would expect the banks to be able to manage this sort of accelerated loss, it would have a significant impact on profitability and on the medium-term momentum in the banking sector. Our next scenario, which is not quite a doomsday scenario, but it's beginning to move in that direction, would be where those forces from the international capital markets are stronger. But also now, as rates rise in the US, we start to see delinquency rates rising in the US, and therefore the impact will be to see more companies in the US having difficulty managing their own financial situation. That will perhaps have a more profound impact on the capital markets, and there will be more of a flight to quality, and therefore we would expect investment in Australia to become even more limited. And in this scenario, we would expect to see a flight to quality. That could be to gold, it could be to the US dollar. But certainly our expectation is that prospective investors in Australia will get flighty and will move capital away. Now, in that scenario, we would expect that interest rates would have to be put up faster in Australia. Firstly, to be able to counter the movements in the exchange rate, and secondly, to try and attract and to retain investment into Australia. So in this scenario, we think interest rates could be perhaps 2% higher in 12 to 18 months. Now, in that scenario, the 925,000 households in mortgage stress go closer to 1.25 million. And a considerable number of those then start having difficulty not only in managing their cash flow, but essentially now begin to default. And those defaults rise, and as they rise, the impact to the banks will be losses moving from 2 basis points to between 12 and 15 basis points. Now, that is enough to be considerably difficult for the banks to manage over the medium term. And whilst they have better capital buffers than they had 4 or 5 years ago, this would be very uncomfortable for the banks. They would definitely have some difficulty to manage this effectively. The other point I think it's worth making is that we've parsed out the defaults between those in the owner-occupied sector and those in the property investment sector. Because in this scenario, we see property prices perhaps drifting down 20% or more over the next 12 to 18 months. And our final scenario, which we've called Armageddon, is essentially everything goes wrong at the same time. So not only does the interest rates rise in the US, but we start finding further geopolitical instability, perhaps from the Asian area, maybe North Korea. Perhaps the trade wars get more intense. And as a result of that, essentially the pressure on the economies around the world really starts ramping up towards that we saw last in 2006 and 2007. Now, in this scenario, unemployment is going to rise in Australia quite fast. And as unemployment rises, the number of defaults will rise very significantly. So we're looking at the moment of around 50,000 households defaulting over the next 12 months. In this Armageddon scenario, we're looking at somewhere like 250,000 to 300,000 households essentially defaulting over the 2 to 3 year period ahead. That would put considerable pressure on the banks and their ability to handle this. And it's quite likely from our modelling that at least one of the major banks would get into such severe difficulty that they may need to call on the assistance from the RBA. So there's that reserve facility that they can call on. And they may even need to talk with APRA about managing through this state of undress. In this Armageddon scenario, we start to see home prices drifting 35 to 40% lower from where they currently are. And that would be enough to wipe out all of the equity that many households will have in their properties. and would put a lot of households into negative equity. This is very much like what happened in Ireland in 2007. In this scenario, orderly management would be very difficult to engineer. We would expect interest rates to be cut. We would expect perhaps unusual measures to be taken, for example, to allow borrowers to restructure their loans a lot longer to reduce their repayments, or indeed maybe even make repayment holidays. Because the amount of debt that we have in Australia at 200% of GDP and close to twice income. So in this scenario, households would really find it difficult to be able to maintain the status quo. And because unemployment would start to rise and therefore more people will be out of work, it starts creating a more of a feedback loop. More people would initially try to sell their properties, but then discover that they couldn't. And therefore, we see property prices continuing to spiral down further. And I just want to remind you that Ireland, 10 years later, is still struggling with the outfall from the global financial crisis. Now, of course, the interesting question is which of those different scenarios, from the low end, no real problems, through to Armageddon, is likely to play out. And it's probably a bit soon to be able to make a call. But at the moment, my own view is that we're probably not going to be able to get away with just a very light touch on the tiller. And neither at the moment am I forecasting the absolute Armageddon. It's going to be somewhere in between. But the decisions that are taken over the next few months will potentially have a significant impact on where we end up. And what I mean by those decisions is, will credit growth be throttled back sufficiently? Will lending standards be tightened sufficiently to stop new households getting into more difficulty? And will there be some arrangements to deal with the 40% of households or thereabouts who have mortgages under false pretenses, either because of falsified documents or that loans were written outside current underwriting standards at the time? But the bottom line is this. So far as I can see, the RBA strategy of using household consumption and the property sector to stoke the economy forward is really now shot to pieces. And what this means is that unless we have an alternative growth engine identified soon, and by the way, I don't think giving more tax cuts to companies will help particularly in terms of encouraging growth, then we have a significant and broader economic issue to deal with. My concern is that there are still too many people in government and in the regulatory bodies who don't think that the nightmare scenario, or even something not quite so nightmarish, is likely to play out. And therefore, they will continue the business as normal strategies rather than starting to tackle the fundamental issues around household debt and housing and those other things that we've been talking about. So I'm sorry, I really can't be more positive about the various scenarios. And the way we deal with these scenarios with our clients is often we'll paint these extreme pictures so that people can then consider in their own mind which is perhaps the most likely to play out and build some strategies around those particular scenarios. So I'm not going to tell you precisely where I think things are going to end up, but I would be very interested to hear what you think, whether you think any of these scenarios are likely or whether something else completely different is going to happen. So do leave comments in the section below and I'll read them and perhaps respond as we go forward. If you found this useful, please do like the post. And if you've subscribed already, thank you, I really appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed so far, please do so to receive future alerts. I'm Martin North, Principal of Digital Finance Analytics.